Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy
Thursday, everybody. Sean Gallagher, Adam here. I'm on Alternative Solid State Radio.
A lot of stuff that we've got to touch on today. Most of it is admittedly not going to be particularly sports related because, well, we don't have hockey till this weekend. And there's only so much Tiger baseball. I do actually have a couple baseball things that I actually kind of want to bring on tomorrow about some other things going around the MLB that don't involve your Detroit baseball Tigers. But for right now, of course, you played the Rangers last night and got blown right the hell out. Justin Henry Molloy being the only bright spot on the lineup last night with his first hit being a solo home run. Didn't matter. You lost 9-1. As it turns out, this whole just giving up one run every night and hoping for the best thing just isn't necessarily sustainable. Who knew? But I find myself kind of just sitting in an odd spot as a Tigers fan right now because on one hand, you have Kirk Gibson going on the team's radio flagship yesterday and trying to rally the fans and whatnot and, you know, well, remember 84 and so on and so forth. Just asking for more patience and positivity from a team that, quite frankly, hasn't given you a whole lot of reason for either over the last decade. Hell, meanwhile, the Det News is reporting that or talking about the possibility of starting pitching being traded before the deadline. So which is it I'm supposed to buy into here? Like that, oh, there's reason to be positive with this team or that you're going to be selling by the deadline because we can't have both. Sorry, I can't get on board with the, oh, well, we just need to give it more time. I know it's been 10 years since you even last sniffed the playoffs, but be positive. There's so many good things going on right now, and yet you can't tell that out of one side of your mouth. And then on the other side of your mouth, oh, you're going to be sellers at the deadline. It's damn near predetermined at this point, and I do kind of suspect, admittedly, that no matter what happens, even if you do manage to get 5 to 10 games above 500, even if you do get within a couple games of the wild card, I still very much feel that the course of action has already to some extent been predetermined, and there are some guys who are going to be put out there and sold no matter what. Am I wrong for thinking that? Am I wrong for thinking here that with all of what we've been told by the few words that we've been given from actual front office, officially on people in front office positions in those roles, as opposed to the mostly trying to preach patience and positivity from the state-run media, essentially, am I wrong to think that the decision's already been made? That this team will be a seller at the deadline no matter if it catches fire, which admittedly, rather unlikely, or not? I really feel another installment of Am I a Bad Fan coming on, really? Like, am I just a bad fan because I feel that way and don't feel entirely positive, and especially when I start hearing about guys being sold? And even as far as Gibby going on and praising the prospects down on the farm, even though this most recent batch of prospects from down on the farm has not exactly lived up to expectations. Riley Green, look, I'm willing to forgive Riley Green for being, you know, for having his struggles. And honestly, even to an extent, Torkelson, but I just feel like both of them were put into, and I've said this before on the air, they've been put into an untenable situation where they were expected to be the sole, like, the offensive firepower of the team, and then when that didn't happen because there was no lineup around them and teams wouldn't pitch to them and they just kind of started to lose confidence, I feel like that was not entirely fair to do to them. The difference is that Riley Green has admittedly responded somewhat better than Torque has. Look, I don't know if Torque's going to be here beyond this season, because he didn't seem to respond to it in the same way, in a way certainly that you would have hoped that he would. But with that in mind, you've got, you know, Gibby going on the radio touting, oh, this Max Clark, the 19-year-old kid they took third overall last year. Oh, the development of the organization as a whole. These players have a way better opportunity to develop into good major league players than they did in the past. Is that the case, though? Do we know that? Do we really have reason to believe that? I don't feel like we do. Especially because it seems kind of obvious that Scott Harris and company don't seem particularly intent on giving these guys, you know, guys around them, putting a team in place around them that can, you know, help them learn at a somewhat, I guess, easier pace, for lack of a better phrase here. Like, it helps to have already a few veteran guys in place to kind of show the ropes to the young guys and help them battle through adversity in some way, shape, or form, and not make them feel like the entire weight of the franchise is completely and utterly on their shoulders. Even the Red Wings didn't do that to guys like Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. Meanwhile, here, you're just... You know, it would have been if you would have thrown those guys in with basically nothing but, you know, Toledo-level scrubs around them and then came down on them when they didn't immediately produce results. That's basically what they've done here. And I'm not at all a fan of it. And it doesn't give me hope that Gibby's right here, that, oh, the organization has given players a better opportunity to develop into good major league players. Maybe if you're a pitcher. That's about it, though. We'll see how it goes going into this weekend against the Brewers, but I have a feeling that yet another installment of Am I a Bad Fan is not too far around the corner. A lot of stuff to get to today. A lot of fun stuff. Not a big sports day because, well, Tigers are off, so not really anything to discuss pertinent to that. And honestly, the few baseball-related things I want to get to, well, we can save them for tomorrow. Let's have some fun with this one. It is happy hour. It is your local alternative, South State Radio.
One of the most rock and roll things happened over the weekend. Taylor Momsen, the singer for the Pretty Reckless, she was her and her band were opening up for AC/DC in Spain, where she was bitten by a bat. And I saw the video, and there she's singing her heart out, playing, and here comes this bat from like the back row, flying over people's heads, latches onto her leg, and she's just kind of walking around with this bat. Everybody else in the crowd was like, hey, check that out. I mean, it's Spanish, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, my God. Apparently, she was bitten. But in true rock and roll, the field, show must go on. She just kept going.
Well, I mean, yeah, what else are you going to do? Right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. If I got bitten by a bat right now on the radio, I wouldn't be like, well, let's get this segment over, Sean. I'm like, I'm out of here.
To be fair, if you happen to see a spider somewhere in the room that we're currently in, that would be enough.
That would probably. Oh, this is uninhabitable. Burn the place down. So she took to Instagram. Says, "So rock and roll moment in Sevilla Wednesday." Okay, it was a week ago today. During Witch's Burn of all songs, a bat flew onto me and clung to my leg. In the moment I was performing, I had no idea until the incredible crowd kept screaming and pointing. In the footage, Momsen is seen on stage with her band during a stop in Seville, Spain, when a bat randomly lands on her leg. You guys are pointing at something. I don't know what you're saying. Momsen could be heard telling the crowd in the clip during the performance of Witch's Burn. Seconds later, she realized the winged animal was clinging to her leg. There's an effing flying bat on my leg right now. Can someone please help me? She said into the microphone as several assistants approached to remove the bat.
Getting revenge for, you know, from Ozzy's incident back in the day, clearly.
While she didn't pull an Ozzy and bite the bat's head off like he did a while ago, the Gossip Girl alum handled the mishap without missing a beat. So did she get bit or not? Oh, he was cute, but yes, he bit me, so rabies shot for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not funny, but she's handling it. She's taking it on the chin. But yeah, there was that one situation 40 years ago where Ozzy would take these rubber bats and bite the heads off, and everybody's like, woo, yeah, and then there was somebody threw a real bat, and he didn't know, and bit into it, and he was like, that was a little different.
Right, yeah, I bet.
I mean, apparently Spanish bats, they hang out during the day and just fly into, like, stadiums full of people at a loud rock and roll show. American bats, they know how to just stay away.
Well, that little during the day per se, like, was it like a festival or something? Because usually the concerts are going to be like in the evening hours.
It was it was daylight out, so maybe, you know.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, but hey, it all worked out, and luckiest bat I've ever known, I'll tell you that much right now.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If now,
you wouldn't mind trading places with that bat, I bet.
Yeah, reports are now saying that Taylor has taken on the personality and the abilities of a bat. She's now a Bat Girl, and she will be fighting crime coming to a city near you. Nobody in AC/DC got bit. I was a little surprised because usually when bad luck things happen, a lot of times it's to AC/DC.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Like, do they just seem to get attacked by animals a lot at shows?
No,
like,
it's just
here.
It's a rock and roll thing, I guess. I mean, if it had been like Def Leppard, then they would have all been attacked probably by a bat, an actual leopard, a leopard who could hear, which is, you know, kind of ironic. But, you know,
right? That's how Raquel lost the arm.
It was just bitten off. It's like, no, it was a car accident. If I tell people it's from a leopard, I will never ever hear the end of it. So, car accident. We're all in agreement. Okay, car accident. Aston Martin, I mean, put me in a cool car. I mean, I just got my arm bitten off by a jungle cat. I mean, I kind of went out like a punk. At least put me in a nice car, right?
Right. In a Jaguar, for instance.
A Jaguar. No, my arm's in the Jaguar. But yeah.
Exactly.
I wonder if they ever got like a soundbite from Ozzy or someone. We wouldn't be able to understand it, but, you know, it'd be kind of funny.
That's true.
I mean, I remember hearing one thing where Cyndi Lauper, who just
a bird shit in her mouth.
Yeah. I see your truth. Bird's like, got her. that was a eagle. It was a right wing eagle. That's against that song, True Colors.
These are the only colors I need, the red, white, and blue.
There we go.
Ka-caw.
bat. Somebody being bitten by a bat. I saw that one. It's like, that's a new one. I can't think of anybody else who has been attacked by an animal on stage.
Yeah, that's that. Well, at least not any musicians that have it. A magician or two, but not.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the ones that they actually bring into their act.
Right.
This is Simba. Everybody say hi to Simba. Simba's like, come here. Siegfried or Roy. Which one get bit? Was that Roy? It was Roy.
It was Roy that got mauled, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not funny because, I mean, really messed him up. But, I mean, when you have animals like that in your show for so long and you're basically just messing with them, they're not domesticated animals. I mean, you really have to respect what they're doing. And this animal's just like, you know what? I'm punching out early and I'm taking this little
punk with me.
Siegfried's like, no, down, Simba, down. Roy's like, help me, help me. Simba's like, I got you now.
This is why you can always guarantee, at least here at Happy Hour, if nothing else, that no animals were harmed in the making of this radio show.
I don't know. One day your cat's got that crazy look in their eyes. I think they're going to rebel.
Yeah, but they're going to attack you, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I'm like, Sean, help me out. No, you had this coming.
You kind of deserve this, and they're so adorable. I mean, just look at that face. How can I tell that face no while it's, you know, just clawing your eyes out?
Yeah, it's batting your eyeball around like a little ball. Oh, she's so cute.
It's the most adorable thing ever. Good girl. Good girl. You've stayed in a fair amount of hotels and things in your day, as have I.
Yes.
And assuming that we're outside the statute of limitations on such things, have you ever taken off from said hotel room with anything from the hotel other than like your shampoos and soaps and whatnot?
No, because I'm always like scared that I'm going to get caught.
You're going to get shook down by the Marriott police.
Yeah.
There's toilet paper in here. This guy's going away for a long time.
Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Give us back our TV. Oh, I thought I brought this with me.
So apparently, a guy traveling through Ohio decided to really take this to an extreme and stop at a Fairfield Inn to get a roll of toilet paper. As it turns out, he wasn't staying at the hotel. The TikTok creator attempted to launch a series on the platform he dubbed Asking Hotels I'm Not Staying At for Stuff I Don't Need. He reports, He reports in the video put up on Saturday that he was at a Fairfield Inn looking to get a roll of toilet paper. He films himself going up to the desk asking for a roll of toilet paper and being rewarded for his initiative by a front desk worker. The hotel is actually in a really sweet spot, he observes, after procuring the Cottonelle roll of toilet paper.
Ooh.
Cottonelle? Jeez, I don't have that nice of toilet paper at my own house.
At a Fairfield? Usually that's like, you know, you get like the Sam's Choice, one ply, breakthrough, get to third base on yourself kind of toilet paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Commenters had issue with this endeavor. People wonder why prices keep going up. Why steal toilet paper? Another counter. He didn't steal it. He literally asked. There's a difference.
Yeah. He asked for it. He got it. That's not stealing.
You're not only a cheat, but you're a thief, contended another, going as far as to declare him unattractive for his behavior.
What? How is
and you're ugly, too.
Yeah. Like, how is he a thief? He asked them for a roll of toilet paper. They gave him a roll of toilet paper. What's the issue here?
Yeah, it's...
but now, yeah, you're ugly, too.
Yeah. It wasn't like, yes, sir. Are you staying with us in the hotel? And he says yes. No, it's like, can I get some more toilet paper? Person behind the desk is making...
They don't care.
Maybe just above minimum wage. Like, you know what? I don't care. Here, take a couple rolls.
Take all the... Here's an entire case. I don't care.
Here's some shampoo. Here's some soap. Here's a defibrillator we've never used. I don't even know if it works. Get it out of here. Take a TV while you... Yeah, we got a wheelchair. I can't remember the last time we've... Just take the wheelchair. Get it out of here. I'm not I don't care. It's almost like time for me to go. I don't care.
Exactly. Now, apparently, there's an article on this travel leisure website about... What can and can't you take from your hotel room? And apparently some 73% of American travelers admit to taking hotel toiletries after their stay.
Oh, I mean...
I know, I always do.
Toiletries, yeah.
Like, not necessarily the bar of soap, but like the little travel, like the shampoos and conditioners and the body wash. Sure. I always take those.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm not even going to lie and say that I don't.
They get those in bulk, but it's... I mean... Okay, if you take
those are nice to take out on the like when you're traveling elsewhere and not necessarily staying at a hotel.
Sure, absolutely. I will say though, the little soaps they give you are worthless. I mean, they don't lather up for nothing.
Oh, the soap bars.
The soap bars, yeah. And then one side is like all like bumped out, like for exfoliating, or I don't know what you're supposed to use that for. But yeah, those are worthless. But yeah,
no,
I take it all. Shower caps, everything else. It's just you can't take the towels. If they have robes, a lot of times I've stayed at hotels where they have robes for you to wear, and they have a big sign on there that says, if you take it, we're charging you for it. Just so you know.
I don't know if I've ever actually stayed at a hotel that was nice enough to offer robes.
You've only stayed at motels by the hour.
Jesus Christ. What kind of degenerate do you take me for, sir?
You've never been to a hotel where you open up the door and you're still inside the building. You always open up the door to your hotel room and now I'm outside. I'm in the parking lot. Look at this.
I have stayed in a fairly nice hotel in the past.
I know you have.
But robes?
Yeah.
I feel like those are the kind of places that are going to charge you $500 a night on top of whatever it costs to take the robe with you.
Well, I mean, over at Motor City Casino, it's getting up there. I don't know what it is these days, but
well, see, that's the
$230, $240. I mean, they've got robes for you.
Right.
They got stemware. I mean, you can't take the stemware either.
Oh, you can't? Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
See, I don't traditionally stay at, like, casinos. Like, I don't do a whole lot of, because unlike you and that other degenerate you do the show with on Saturday night, I'm not much of a gambler.
See, I'm not either. I like the casino lifestyle, and I love the hotels at casinos because they really know how to treat you. But yeah, I'll gamble a little bit in the morning, and then that's it. Rest of it's just drinking and carrying on.
Yeah, there is
stealing robes apparently.
Right, there is always that. That's rather nice.
We're usually using Drew's card, so he's like, they added another charge for it. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's how they get you. How do you like my robe? Ooh, soft.
Right. Toiletries such as bar soap, shampoo, and disposable slippers are okay to take, says this associate professor of hotel operations and technology at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Also remember that writing stationery does not have to be stationary, pun intended, so feel free to take pens, pencils, and notepapers.
Sure. I mean, it's all disposable kind of stuff. I mean, they don't know if you... I wonder if the housekeeping, if they're supposed to get rid of, like, the shampoos and everything else... Because you can't tell if they're used a little bit of unless you open it up and it looks like a little bit missing.
Right.
Yeah. And when you go into a new hotel, you're expecting everything to be full and new and ready to go. So, yeah, I mean, take it.
Exactly.
Stationary, though. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've definitely snagged a pen or two from a hotel room.
I've never been like, oh, thank God, they got it stationary here.
I mean, you just kind of end up with like the note papers and things like those come in really handy. Linens such as towel sheets and pillowcases are some of the big no-nos.
Oh, yeah.
You don't, not that I haven't wanted to snag a towel a time or two. Like, you know, this actually is more comfortable than the stuff I have at home. I kind of want this.
Yeah. Or one of the many paintings of flowers that are in every hotel room. Can't take those.
You can get a picture of a painting of flowers like literally anywhere. On like you can get one of those for $5 at your average retail resale store.
Well, that's because people grab them from hotel rooms and don't want them. They sell them at a resale store. Wow. She sells seashells by the seashore.
New teeth?
A couple more payments are all mine.
Also, some guests incorrectly assume that books and magazines available in their room are up for grabs. They often are not. Except for those stupid little Bibles they keep in the little, dude, I don't even know if they still do that.
Oh, yeah, they still do.
Hair dryers and steam irons are among the items known to get accidentally packed away when checking out.
Oh, is that...
What? People do this?
Yeah. Well, how do you do the hair dryer? All the ones I've seen have been bolted to the wall.
Right? Yeah, they don't mess around with them because they figured out that everyone's stealing them from them.
Yeah, we can't give you guys nice things. Put a scale... On there, and you fat people took it, and you don't even use it.
Who would want such a thing? Quite frankly, I don't want to know how much I want.
you know those cheap remotes they give you for the TV.
Yeah,
I wonder how many times those get boosted. Yeah, even though they don't work,
they don't even work. Who would take them?
Just people are like, yeah, stick it to the man. And they probably got a whole crate of them.
They probably do, but like they also know that they don't work. Like they work for that one. So your stay there and then never again.
They just dispose of it completely. Room 307, they're missing another remote. Yeah, I saw that one coming. All right, go down to the remote storage facility.
They throw those out like they do the shampoos and things.
They just go, it looks like they're cleaning up a crime scene. Throw it all away, get it out of here. No witnesses.
Apparently, it's not just the toiletries and linens that hotels have to worry about going missing. This apparent hotel expert here has heard of guests removing shower heads and even Italian marble tiles from rooms before they depart.
Oh, that has got... You've got cojones if you're going to remove tile.
The shower head. Like, who takes a shower head with them?
It's like, man, I really like the pressure. It's mine now. No, I was like that when I got here, I swear.
I don't know how that happened. It's crazy. Guests have even served prison time for theft, including,
Prison time?
No, this,
you make off with a mattress?
No, a woman served several months in prison, 3 months in prison, for stealing 2 towels from a hotel, to be fair, in Nigeria.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, those towels probably cost, like, everything that hotel made that year, so yeah, I need to be fair.
And their court system is basically like... Man, I'm having a bad day. You're going to prison.
Yeah, the judge is one of those Nigerian princes you always hear about. Well, you know, enough people just didn't send me $10,000 to, or send me a cashier check for $5,000 or enough Amazon gift cards.
Amazon gift cards.
So I got to make up our income for the month. You're going to jail.
Yeah, for 2 towels. Good luck. Now you got an orange jumpsuit.
Exactly. So there you have it, the do's and don'ts of what you can and can't get away with stealing from your hotel room. Happy pilfering, I guess. So I'm well familiar with the idea of, you know, competitive eating. And, of course, we just saw not too long ago, I think it was, Kobayashi hung it up after being, like, the hot dog eating champion for, like, forever. Because, as it turns out, that sort of thing really messed with your health, I guess.
Yeah.
What I wasn't so familiar with, though, was the idea of food marathoning.
Marathoning. Okay.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing, and I'm still not entirely sure how this works, but apparently there's this woman on TikTok, because of course, who set to break a record at her local Buffalo Wild Wings for basically food, like marathon eating with an all you can, because apparently they do all you can eat wings over there now, which was a thing I was not familiar with.
Wow.
I don't know if that's currently a thing. But she's gone viral before with a string of videos featuring epic meals at Texas Day Brazil, Fogo de Chao, and CC's Pizza, apparently. She's even asked to leave by restaurant staff after being a little too literal about the phrase, all you can eat. Yeah, apparently, a CC's Pizza kicked her out after like 8 hours of her all-you-can-eat pizza buffet.
Oh, jeez.
Which, I mean, that's, for one, that's amazing. Like, how much pizza are you eating over the course of 8 hours?
Right.
To get the staff to actually ask you to leave.
She's been here my entire shift.
That's amazing to me.
She knows them all by name.
Right? Like, I'm wondering what was... you have to ask you to leave because you've been here longer than 2 hours. They just made a new rule. Paid $9 for 8 hours for unlimited pizza.
$9 for 8 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd explode.
See, you more than got your money's worth. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
If you had more than one pizza's worth of pizza, you got your money's worth.
Right.
But so this lasted 12 hours.
My God.
Seeing how long it takes to get Buffalo Wild Wings all-you-can-eat chicken wings. I got there at 11:50 and paid $20 for all-you-can-eat wings. My waitress says the record is 28 wings, but it's not a record. That's a light snack.
Now, I mean, because life's not fair, I'm expecting her to be like, you know, 300, 400 pounds, but she's probably actually probably a smoke show.
Right. I'm trying to find either video or picture here to demonstrate, because I think you're right. She's definitely not as large as that kind of appetite would indicate. She ended up 12 hours of B-Dub's Endless Chicken and ate 69 chicken wings. Nice.
69 chicken wings in 12 hours?
Yes. She shared that happiness with both of her waitresses, tipping both of what seemed to be lavish amounts of money. Like, in other videos, she has delivery tipped anywhere from $100 to $1,300 after her marathon meal sessions.
It's like six wings an hour? I mean, you could do that.
I probably could.
Oh, absolutely. You could. I mean, anybody could.
My question is, how is 28 the record? Because I literally went, after I played that gig downtown Friday night, I went down the street to down to Cheers and literally put down 24 wings like that.
Yeah.
I also hadn't eaten all day, but like, and I was still kind of hungry afterwards. I'm not like, you know, I could eat another. Like, there are other people out here like, oh, just like, here, I can't finish all of these. I'm like, I just finished 24, and I could go for another dozen or so.
So, yeah, 68, 69 wings. Yeah, you could pull that off. No, not a problem. You'd be doing it in less than 12 hours.
Oh, God, yes.
She was probably just being a nuisance at that point.
I mean, that would put, what, like, if I'm doing 24 wings, at, you know, for a meal or whatever, like, that probably put me at, you know, 3 meals during my time there, like, 72 wings. Like, that seems doable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's like one wing every 10 minutes. You could do that.
Yeah. So apparently, yeah, that's easily done. Like, as impressive as that is, a pro-competitive eater doing a bunch of, like, you know, doing just straight-up quantity, like, in timing competition, Australian James Webb snarfed down 276 in 12 minutes. 23 wings a minute.
No, that can't be right.
That's insane.
Wait, eat them bones and all?
How do you eat? I just want to know, physically, how are you eating 23? Like, they would have to be, like, boneless, right? Like, there's no way that you're not going through all of that.
Or he's a new wing eater where he just takes, like, one bite out of him and, okay, just leaving a bunch of breading and meat on each chicken wing.
That's which is so wrong in so many ways. That's just a waste of perfectly good wing.
Yep.
My God, though.
Wow. I don't think there's any way he pulled that off. I think that's a lie right there.
I don't know. Apparently, it's like an official record and eating thing in some capacity. So I'm looking to try and see here for your sake. This girl who apparently does this sort, who did this.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're definitely right. She did not. So that's like, it's TikTok, so you know it's like the picture has to change every 2 seconds.
Yeah, I'm just seeing all the chicken wings. I'm not seeing her.
She comes up here in a minute.
It's definitely a record for me. Oh, yeah, she's cute,
right? Like, definitely not like the fact that you can put down that kind of food.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, it took you 12 hours to do it, but
yeah, I was like, somebody get her a man or a woman or something. Get her a life. She's been here for 12 hours.
I can't imagine spending 12 hours at any one bar, much less that one.
I mean, I think I've done it, but yeah, I have done it, but it was...
I've not spent 12 hours at the same bar.
I spent 12 hours at the same bar that had trivia, and we had the whole thing. It was like, got together with two other people that like trivia. Let's get there when they open, and we're going to stay there all day. And we did.
For as much time as I spend in bars, which is a lot.
Yeah.
No, I can't say I've ever done that. Like, I usually, like, if I'm doing an all-day thing, it's a bar hop or a bar crawl or, you know, a bar stumble, really. The same one all day just seems like that gets old real quick. But maybe someday we'll have to do this justice and do it on the air.
If it's a comfortable bar that you know the staff and you know people there, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, just going to a strange place, getting there from open to close, they're going to have one eye on you the entire night.
As well, they probably should.
Yeah, I was like, what is with this guy? I don't even know who he is. Sat down. We opened up at 7. He was at the door at 6:59, sat there the entire time, drinking, eating, playing Keno. And then, you know, here it is, 2 o'clock, and we're having to tell this guy he's cut off.
And he's probably only going to tip us like a dollar.
Just wanted to say you guys have been really working out. This $10 is for all of y'all now. All right, we'll see you later. We'll see you next week.
Oh, could not imagine. Yeah. Well, maybe that's some that's an experiment that we're gonna have to put ourselves to.
Just sit in a bar from open to close.
I think we could do this.
Oh, absolutely.
You apparently have already done it.
Yep.
All right. There's a marathon. You we'll see your food marathon and raise you a drinking marathon. How's that sound? I like it. I'm in. Let's do this.
I mean, yeah. We had like 3 meals at that one bar.
Yeah.
I mean, it was drinking, but no shots, just beer.
Oh, see, I'd probably introduce shots sometime around hour one.
Hour one?
You gotta do a shot to start off the day right. I mean, come on.
Hour 12, and it's like, what day is it? Who am I?
Try and do a radio show that way. My, that would be.
Yeah. that would not happen.
Part of me kind of wants to do it. So there you go. That could be coming soon to a bar near you. So I know we just did this bit yesterday, but I'm ready to judge people again.
No.
Because I'm always ready to judge people. Let's be honest here.
Okay.
Let's do an Am I the A-Hole? And this one is one we could never get away with doing on FM.
Oh, okay.
So I, 28-year-old female, have been in a relationship with my boyfriend, 30-year-old male, for 3 years now. We had a great relationship, and I love him dearly. Now, here's the thing. My boyfriend has an average size.
Uh-huh.
And I've never had any complaints about our sex life. But he's great in bed, and I've always been more than satisfied with our intimate moments. He's definitely the best partner I've ever had. However, I have 2 best friends who are, well, what one would call size queens. They've always been vocal about their preference for men with above-average penis sizes, and I was too until I met my man. My best friends obviously know his size because women, at least the women I know, like to talk about stuff, since it's healthy to discuss our sex lives, to get tips, know what works for us as women to orgasm.
Oh, boy.
I think it's common knowledge that women do share intimate details with their friends just for curiosity or laughs, but my boyfriend thinks it's toxic and an invasion of privacy. We all met over the weekend at our local bar, and the topic of engagement came up. We were all in lighthearted mode. My boyfriend mentioned he couldn't afford an expensive diamond ring right now and suggested we get a gold ring instead because that's common from the culture he comes from. My friend started making jokes about how he needs to buy an expensive ring for me to compensate for the size of his junk, and we all just laughed it off. This really upset him. He walked off the bar and told me he doesn't want to be with someone that allows their friends to make fun of him like that or even share stuff like that. 3 days of silent treatment later, he said he's considering calling off our relationship. Am I the a-hole?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, you are. I mean, imagine him hanging out with his friends talking about how things are tight or not tight.
Right? Like, do you really want your... would you think it particularly funny if you're... If his friends were around, joking around how it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway,
yeah,
doing it with you?
So
looks like an Arby's roast beef sandwich down there.
So-and-so says there's not much tread left on that tire. What do you think? I don't know. Everything was fine, and then all of a sudden her girlfriends get into her head, and those caustic bitches, they're probably just... really kind of getting in her head, and it becomes a competition thing. Yeah, she's trashy. She doesn't deserve this guy. And yeah, so I guess go out there and just have your size requirements there, princess.
I guess I don't get is this like a common thing that women do? I mean, I'm sure to an extent it is, but like, I don't know if I want to be someone who's going around comparing, you know, my quarter inch of fun to her friends' guys.
Yeah.
You want to talk about making a guy feel inadequate here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the very least, tell your girlfriends to shut up about the whole thing and not bring it up to them.
In front of you, especially.
Yeah, what a move. I mean, I've shared intimate details of women I've been with, but, you know, my guy friends always kind of know it, you know, it's just between us. Don't bring it up to her.
Because I try and forget about it because the last thing I want to hear is intimate details of your sex life.
That's right. You have to buy the DVD like everybody else.
I already know more. You've already told me more things than I ever wanted to know, and that's enough.
But yeah, but you wouldn't bring it up to Dorothy or anything like that.
No, I would not. You've already done that enough on the air. I don't need to.
But I mean, yeah, of course he's looking. I mean, because guys, I mean, we can handle a lot of BS, but don't make fun of Mr. Happy.
That ain't cool.
No, because I mean that's not something that he can help. Not something that he can
do anything
fix.
About. Like,
I mean, supposedly there's like surgeries and stuff like that, but it never seems to work out. And just you're being. I mean, has he mentioned anything about your boobs? Probably not. Has he been upset with the wideness or lack, not tight enough kind of situation that you have down there?
I know she doesn't have the biggest rack ever, but I mean, it's more than a mouthful's of waste, really. So
I mean, I'm happy with it, but as opposed to, oh yeah, oh hey, yeah, hey, John said you were coming. Hey, missile boobs. Hey, how you doing? They look like 36 D's. They're actually 38 longs. How we doing? Oh, I can't believe you shared those intimate details. Intimate details. They see the video, honey.
I mean, look, the fact that they hang down literally to your belt, like, yeah. I think they figured that out.
Yeah, they clack together like those balls you have in your office. Just they're mesmerizing. I mean, we were able to hypnotize some people. Charlie, he doesn't smoke anymore, and he has you to thank.
Yeah, it's all because of you. Like, you're really doing a community service here, if anything.
Yeah, they can say, oh, girls talk, and they probably do. I mean, guys
sure
talk, but I mean, show some decorum.
I mean,
ladies, come on.
Maybe I'm just weird in the fact that I don't discuss the details of my sex life with my friends.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome, Adam. I wish you could say the same. But maybe I'm the outlier there. I'm not really sure, but I definitely wouldn't think about, especially with someone who I've been in a relationship with for a decade, in my case, you know, saying, you know, telling the embarrassing, you know, any embarrassing parts of that to my friends. Like, no.
Right.
I have enough embarrassing things to tell people about myself. I don't need to bring that. I don't need to bring the bedroom into it.
Yeah, exactly. It's an intimate part of your relationship, and it should stay that way. And, I mean,
I don't blame him for wanting to break up with you.
No, not at all.
I really don't.
I mean, that's not exactly showing him respect.
No, not at all. Like, you're honestly, quite frankly, lucky that he stuck around as long as he has.
Yep.
Like, it should
have been like, well, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll see you, you know, wide mouths later. Just stick him with the bill.
There you go. That's probably what he should have done. If only he would have been the one writing to us, we could have advised him and saved a whole lot of.
She's got like a wide mouth bass down there and smells just like it. And she's got the clap.
And that's to say nothing of the gonorrhea syphilates.
Yeah. She's got the clap so bad, doctors call it the standing ovation. Oh, what? Now all of a sudden
it's a problem.
We're a closed book now, huh? We're not talking about our relationship.
Oh, now we're running out of the bar, out of the restaurant crying.
Oh, yeah.
Now is we were having so much fun, though, 5 minutes ago talking about my junk.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? I can't imagine.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Yeah, he's better off without you. Hope this helped. this is one of those stories where they don't exactly say the quiet part out loud, but if you read between the lines, I think you can figure out what's going on here pretty quick.
Okay.
A woman faces charges, including attempted murder, after police said she shot a man in his own home twice with his own gun, according to an arrest report obtained by Las Vegas's 8 News Now. May 23rd, around 4 p.m., police responded to the lobby of a residence. What residence are you living in that has an effing lobby, dude?
There's like a lot of like apartments that have like a lobby.
Fair. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. After a man called 911 saying he was shot, arriving officers found the victim, who told police the woman who shot him was still upstairs in his room, according to the arrest report.
Oh, God.
Officers went to the victim's residence but did not find anyone inside. The floor of the residence was covered in droplets of blood, and 2 bullet casings were found in the kitchen and the bedroom. The victim was taken...
It was like, boom, boom. It was like, boom, come here. Gotta right. Get you again.
Medical personnel took the victim to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The victim told police he met the suspect a few days prior in the 4,000 block of South Maryland Parkway and only knew her by the name Renee.
Oh, boy.
The victim told police he decided to talk to the suspect because she was very attractive and decided to take her back to his place to hang out. He told police they spent 2 nights at this place, but they did not have any sex, the report stated. He told police on the day of the shooting he left the woman in his room fully clothed and went to the kitchen and made coffee for her. When he walked back to his room, she was naked and holding the victim's gun, pointing it at him. The victim told police the woman said, "Hey, you," and shot him twice. The victim ran out of his room while the woman chased him with the gun out of the apartment. The victim was eventually able to get to the lobby and call 911. The suspect said she had no idea why the suspect shot him. Police identified the suspect. They found her, 26-year-old Renee Tawa, as a possible suspect. Police showed the victim a photo lineup including her, and he immediately identified her as the person who allegedly shot him. A passerby found a gun matching the description of the victim's gun in the middle of the street, less than a block from the victim's residence. Surveillance video from the residence showed her running out of the building shortly after police arrived.
Naked?
I don't think she showed up there naked, no. I mean, we know what's going on here, don't we?
He got himself a hooker and didn't pay her?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. he says they didn't have sex.
I left the bedroom. You make off. She was perfectly clothed. She was clothed. She had all the clothes on. Oh, yeah.
Until she suddenly wasn't.
And came back and, yeah, shot me with my own gun. Damn it. Of all the things.
Right. Usually you got to pay extra for that.
Then how the bullet casings get in 2 different rooms if she shot him twice in the bedroom?
I think she shot him... it's an apartment, so honestly, the bedroom and the kitchen may be the same damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, because if we're talking, again, a residence where there's a lobby, so this must be an apartment, which means it's all on one floor.
Yeah.
Which probably means it's one of those things where she fired in the kitchen, hit him, and then hit the Murphy bed that stands up against the wall. Like
ricocheted off the hot plate / oven.
See, that's what happens when you go cheap on the hookers, kid.
Yeah. Like,
this is how things like this happen.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not a good look. When he's like, Oh, yeah, I left the bedroom. She was fully clothed. I just want to put that out there. That's the part that makes me laugh.
Yeah, and I turn around and all of a sudden she's naked and firing a gun at me.
I mean,
how'd she know I was into that?
Yeah. Everybody's got their kinks. So he wants the police to think, oh, he's making coffee. Isn't that nice? 2 creams, 2 sugars, please. Oh, I'm just getting all hot and bothered.
Right.
I'm going to take off all these clothes. I feel better. I'm going to go through his stuff. Oh, look, I found a handgun. Yeah. I'm going to shoot him for no reason.
Yeah, I just found this girl one day out at a store or something, and she was so hot, I felt like I needed to talk to her and then immediately invite her back to my house and not have sex with her.
Yeah.
And definitely not exchange any money with her.
No, not at all. I mean, that's what I do with everybody. I'm kind of kooky. That's who I am.
Yeah, I just kind of do things like... It's really community outreach is what it is.
Yeah.
This is the girl, by the way. And yeah, she looks like the kind of person that would absolutely shoot you twice and not even have the courtesy to get you off first.
She looks like that Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Not too shabby, dude.
No, not bad at all, but definitely a little bit of the crazy. No,
a little crazy. I don't know. Someone tells me she is the victim in all this and she was defending herself. And for that, I say, go, girl, go.
Well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. Like... Because, I mean, she's already been arrested, taken in. She's presumably going to trial at some point.
All right, well, bookmark that name so we can search that out, find out what's going on with that. Because now I'm curious. I need to know.
Like, she's already scheduled for a court date, so I'm kind of interested to see how this goes down here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it says she makes bail, she'll be put on high-level electronic monitoring, will have to stay out of trouble, not have any weapons or have contact with the victim, which I imagine shouldn't be too hard to do. You mean I can't have contact with the guy that I shot twice?
Would you accept that phone call? Hi, I was just thinking about you. How's the two bullet holes I put in you? Are you healing okay? Yeah, I was just thinking, what are you doing right now? Taking my pain meds because you shot me twice, you crazy bitch.
you're still hung up on that?
Wow.
It was just one time. Well, okay, actually it was two times, but that's not the point.
I just thought, you know, me taking you to the hospital would make us grow closer as a couple.
No. The couple that goes, well, except she didn't. They didn't go to the hospital.
She took off.
She just took off.
I was getting help.
Yeah, that's what it was, getting help, quote unquote.
I figured with you leaking that much blood, you'd be hungry, so I went to go get Subway.
You're welcome. Some people just don't appreciate a woman who, you know, does all that for them.
No.
Goes out of their way to...
Chivalry is dead.
Really, truly is. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to an hour of local original. what is it you do?
Tax evasion. We learn how to take a few dollars for yourself away from Uncle Sam.
Isn't it a little late in the season for that, dude?
Tax evasion is never takes a day off. I have an hour of Michigan-made music. I've got Wide Track on the way, Vlad Skeletal Circus, who will be my guest in studio tomorrow, and the Romantics.
It'll be a good time all the way around.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. So that's up next here at Solid State Radio. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!